Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. When we hear this particular gospel, we've probably heard this story before. You might have heard reference to it. There's been movies that sort of have a theme that's similar to this story. It's even in our culture in that we have something called the Good Samaritan Laws. Have you ever heard of that? So, like, if you go and you take CPR training, the Good Samaritan Laws don't allow you. You can't be sued if you stop and help somebody. If you have good intentions to help someone, and you know they can't necessarily sue you. And so, this is a pervasive story and one that we have a deep attraction to. And more often than not, when we hear the story, we interpret it that we should help anyone who's harmed, right? That whenever we encounter someone, that we should take the risk and we should help them. And I think sometimes we miss the finesse of the story because we don't share the culture that Jesus shared. And so we might not always hear what's really underneath the scripture. So I'm going to try to get a little deeper into the scripture with you this morning. Jesus is being tested, and this happens several times in Luke. It also happens in John's gospel, in which someone comes to him to try to get him to say the wrong thing. And by saying the wrong thing, he'd be blasphemous, or they'd be able to kind of do him in, so to speak. And so often, you have someone who's a lawyer or a teacher or some other person who comes and will ask a question, and that's how it's presented in this particular gospel. So the lawyer comes and says, Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get to God? And Jesus turns the question on him and says, well, what does the law say? And he repeats the Shema with the added bit at the end. The Shema is the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, exactly, you've got it. And then the lawyer wants to press and wants to catch him. Well, then Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is it that I should help? If you look through the Hebrew scriptures, there's a little bit of a sense that you help the tribe and that you're kind to people outside the tribe. And so this is really where the question is coming. What I mean by that is that if you look through some of the other Hebrew scriptures, you'll often hear of the importance of caring for the people who are of the Jewish nation, of the common people that you're at. And you're also supposed to be good to the aliens in your land. So anybody who isn't Jewish, you're supposed to be good to, not space aliens, okay? I'm sure you're clear about that. And so you're supposed to be kind and be gracious, but you might not afford them the same. And so the lawyer's asking this question because it's meant to be a trick. And then Jesus says, well, here, let me tell you a story. He said, there's someone traveling down from Jerusalem. So going down, everything is down from Jerusalem, by the way, whether you're above Jerusalem or not, you're going down from Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is the holiest city. And so as you go down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that particular road is a road that winds through sort of mountainous, rocky desert. And Jericho is not far from the Dead Sea. And so when you get to Jericho, it's a walled city. And you'll remember some of the other stories from the Old Testament that talk about that. And it's a place where there's a spring and there's water and there's things that you can get for sustenance of life. And it's sort of a last place as you go up against this particular wilderness where there's civilization, so to speak. And it's not much different today. And the road, we might think of as being dangerous, but in Jesus' time, it's phenomenally dangerous. Because the trade route is important and critical. And so there's bandits who can't participate in society or do whatever, and they're there and ready and able to steal. And so for the people who are hearing the story, this would be, you know, just a common story. It's sort of like that one bad highway that we know about that you should be careful on or something like that. Only there's no 911, there's no, you know, police force or things like that. And so it tells the story. It says someone was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he's along the way, and bandits rob him and beat him and leave him there. And the priest comes, and you don't know if he's going up or down, by the way, but I'm assuming that he's probably going up to Jerusalem, maybe the other way. A priest comes and sees the person who's wounded and passes by on the other side. Now, for most of us, we would be offended by this. If you knew that I drove by someone who was sitting by or walked by someone who was sitting on the side of the road and didn't stop to help, you would, you'd probably, you know, want to have a meeting with the vestry at least. You know, or even, you know, why didn't you at least call, you know, get your cell phone out and text somebody? But if you look a little deeper, what is the priest bound by? The priest is bound by the Levitical code. And the Levitical code would say that a priest, a person who's a part of the temple worship, cannot touch a person with open wounds, or they'll become unclean. And we don't know the tribe that this particular individual belongs to, but the priest is risking being able to not fulfill their priestly duty. Remember, the lawyers asked the question, so there's finesse to the answer. The finesse is that the priest is doing exactly what the priest is supposed to do, according to the Levitical code, by passing by on the other side. The priest is protecting his role in the society. And then Jesus says, a Levite comes. Now, Leviticus, Levite, do you get the connection? It's the same, it's the tribe that is the holders of the rules. And a Levite comes. And the Levite knows the Shema, Lord, the love of your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And he too passes by on the other side. Why? He's bound by the same rules. He cannot touch this person without risking becoming unclean and not being able to fulfill his role or her role in the Levitical place in his temple. And then the Samaritan comes. Now, we've talked about Samaritans before in sermons. So if you haven't heard those sermons, the Samaritans are what? Well, they're bad guys in the view of some people. You know, it's a denominational difference, so to speak. They have a different interpretation of the scripture. But we're not talking like Episcopal Lutheran difference, okay? We're talking about a major difference. The Jews worshiped one particular mountain on a mountain, believed that God came down there. The Samaritans said, no, it's a mountain down the road a little bit. And they said, we don't really need all of the books that you have. We just need the first five, the Pentateuch. And so they're the same. In other words, they have similar culture. They share scripture. They share stories. And they're bound by the same rules. But in that particular time, the Samaritans and the Jews of the day had almost hatred for each other. They would not intersect. They would not intertwine. They would not intermix in any way. And so Jesus says, well, the Samaritan comes. Now remember, this is a conversation between someone who's trying to trick Jesus and the Samaritan comes. And the lawyer would have known the Samaritan is bound by the same Levitical code as the other two. But what does the Samaritan do? He stops. And not only does he help, he gives of his money. And then he cares for that individual well beyond even that moment, saying, whatever you need to get this guy better, I'll cover when I come back. But what is Jesus trying to do? What is Jesus trying to say? And he asked the lawyer, well, who did the right thing? Who's the one that showed mercy? And of course, the lawyer said, well, the last one did, the Samaritan. He says, go and do likewise. Mercy and love. Jesus reinterprets, who is my neighbor in this moment? And says that even though the Levitical code is there, the right thing to do in that moment was to reach out and to help the person that you weren't supposed to help. It is to breach the societal norms for a second and to help that person. It's not just that someone's injured on the side of the road and needs a hand. Jesus' point of the story is that the redefinition of neighbor, that our neighbor is anyone we encounter. So think about that for a minute. If we hear that from Jesus, how do we look at the world? I think there's lots of people who are wounded and by the side of the road all the time. And it's easy for us to pass them by. It can be someone with a handicap. It can be someone that looks different. It can be someone who's got a mental illness. It can be someone who's on the edge of society. It can be someone who just doesn't look right. There's all kinds of different things where people might be there. And we might not even see the folks. We might be just like the priest or the Levite, and just walk by and not even know. There's a colleague of mine named Becca Stevens, who's someone that I've known over the years through different conferences, and then also just we have an online community of some of us that talk quite a bit. And Becca has a ministry at Vanderbilt University. She's the chaplain there and has been there for about 15 years. And she started something called Thistle Farms. And let me tell you kind of how that started. It was a little bit out of this gospel, hearing this gospel. She noticed around Vanderbilt, there were a lot of people, particularly women, who were on the streets. And nobody was doing anything. So you had this place of higher learning. You had this place of all kinds of study. You had this place where, you know, people were working on social change and all this stuff. And people weren't seeing right before their eyes the wounded on the side of the road. And so Becca kind of started thinking about that and started interacting with the women that she would encounter. And pretty soon a ministry called Thistle Farms started. And it was a ministry that she would talk. If you ever get a chance to hear her talk, it's a beautiful way that she talks. She says, you know, the goal of this was not to transform every person that we encounter, but it was to think of one person at a time. I'm going to help one person at a time. And try to restore dignity and to offer them a path and to offer a new way, to offer that healing, to offer that Samaritan's purse, so to speak, to give them the chance for a new direction. And over time, person after person would come into encounter with this ministry, and it's been worked on and finessed, and cottage industries would dwell up so that they could make particular things so people would have a skill and would be learning how to work and how to manage products and get some income. And they would work on getting lives kind of put back together and work on addiction issues and all the other issues that were going on in the hope that lives might be transformed. But the biggest part of her ministry was to see and to cross, even though maybe we weren't supposed to the people that seemed untouchable outside, yet were wounded on the side of the road. I think of this story a lot as I go through ministry. And I want to challenge you, not necessarily to be a Becca Stevens in your life, but to pay attention to those who might be on the outside. To pay attention to those that might be wounded sitting by the side of the road. And to ask yourself the hard spiritual question. Is it easier to be a priest or Levite and pass by on the other side? Or are you called to be the Samaritan in the story? Are you called to break what society might not want you to do and to be willing to transform and be part of the healing of another person? But remember a little bit about what Becca talks about. One person at a time. What if in your life you could be that one person that helped another who's on the side of the road? To transform them. So can you be the Samaritan? Amen.